I wake up in the morning, and it's once again all dark. Get up off of the rocky floor where I lay my head every night. Get up, start to move around, and once again, it takes me a while for my eyes to adjust to the darkness. It's always dark. Move around the very small cave where me and the 9 other lepers spend our time day in, day out. Things don't change much in the cave. Try and pass the hours. There's not much to do. My life is full of numbness. My body, of course, with the leprosy, lost all feeling. I've even lost sense of taste. The little food that we get once a day, a man coming to our cave and lowering food down in a basket through the one hole that's in the ceiling, the only way in and out of our cave of seclusion and isolation. Go to bed that night, and the routine begins again the next day. Life of darkness. Start to lose hope. The one place that seems to give a little bit of life is standing in that little ray of sun that seems to come through that hole every day, yearning for the day of being in the light of freedom, of healing. But I know that'll never happen. Leprosy, of course, is a product of my sin, or at least that's what all the Jews tell me. One day I wake up and the man comes as usual to give us the food that keeps us alive, but something's different today. There's a different tone to his voice. He comes to the hole and yells down, "My brothers, my sisters, I've met this man, Jesus. He healed my mother. Maybe he can heal you too as well. Get in the basket, I'll raise you up and we'll go find him." We're all a bit confused there in the cave. To go out is to risk death. We might spread our illness, and who knows what people will say or do to us lepers. I mean, what's even the point? We've lived this way for years. This is just our reality. But all of us have that small ray of hope, that ray of light that comes in through that hole that gives us hope that maybe this could be the healing, the freedom that we yearn for. So we all get in that basket, are raised up, and we're blinded by the light. It takes us a while to adjust. But when we do, we follow the man, and he takes us to this man, Jesus. Jesus speaks to us, looking in our eyes with a love that seems to say that he understands everything that we've been through, that he knows our pain, our isolation. He tells us to go show ourselves to the priests. So he's not going to heal us. But on our journey away, we're healed. Filled with joy, happiness, freedom. And so I go and give thanks at the feet of the man who has healed me. Dear brothers and sisters, I had a beautiful chance to visit the Holy Land about 3 years ago during my diaconate year. And my group of deacons, we were deacons at the time, had the incredible opportunity to visit what they believe is the cave of these 10 lepers. It's a very unknown pilgrimage site because it's actually in the West Bank. So it's in the conflict zone, so pilgrim groups usually never go there because you have to have an armed guard that go in there. But we had some connections and we got to go. And it's incredible. It's this church that they've created from this cave. And like I described, it was a cave in the ground that only had one entrance from the ceiling that probably a man or a woman brought food to these lepers day in and day out. They were isolated from society, completely removed, separated. What they've done is they've excavated, they've torn off, dug down, and tore out the side of the cave to where you can enter the cave now from the side, and they've turned the inside to a church. It's so beautiful. That church represents to us the reality of really the redemptive saving power of Jesus, basically the healing power of God in our life. What the lepers went through today is really a representation of our own life of sin, being part of a world of darkness. In our sin, we are like the lepers. How? Well, you know, leprosy, it numbs your body, basically wears away and eats away your body to where you lose all feeling. You can't even taste, you can't even feel. Our sin does that to that in us, does that to us in our life. It slowly but surely, first with curiosity and then with opening ourselves up to a sin and then opening ourselves up more and then becoming enslaved to it, we slowly but surely over time become numb, like what leprosy does to the truths of God. We lose a sense of the joy that comes with being in the freedom of living as Christ's children. We lose a sense of the community and oneness that is that comes with being a part of a church that's alive, all of us receiving in our poverty and unworthiness as sinners before the God who sets us free, who has died on the cross for us. It's very interesting. At the very start of the gospel passage, it says Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Guess what he's going to do in Jerusalem? He's going to die for us. Set us free from our sin and our sicknesses, the malady of the leprosy of our sin. Notice how, you know, sin isolates us, just like the lepers. It removes us from the one source of life and community, the one place of knowing that we're loved and being received in love that we all yearn for in our life. We all desire family. So many of us don't have that in our life today, and so we experience the separation from God in our sin. Separation from Him, and then separation even from ourselves and our own desires of liberation. We start to lose faith, lose hope. The cave just becomes the new normal, just like these lepers. It becomes a place of lukewarmness and a lack of purpose, a lack of meaning. It becomes a place of separation from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Becomes a place where we separate those who are different than us, who are more wounded, just like the Jews probably separated these lepers. God comes to us today, and specifically in this Mass, wanting to heal us, just like he did these 10 lepers. How does he do that in our life? Well, it's very beautiful and interesting. Let's look at the first reading today. How is Naaman healed? The prophet Elisha tells him to go wash 7 times in the River Jordan. And Elisha doesn't want to do it, but he ends up doing it. He washes in the River Jordan, the same river where Christ will be baptized decades later. The same place where as Christ is baptized and comes up from the water, God, his heavenly Father, speaks down from the heavenly realities of heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And he opens the gates, beginning in that moment, through the fullness of his life, giving his life on the cross, to open the gates of eternal life to us who are baptized, renewed, washed clean of our sins, and called a child of God. It's very interesting. In this church that I visited, guess what they put right underneath the hole, the one place of salvation? They put a second century baptistry that they found in another location very close. What is a baptistry? It's the place where we baptize. Looks very similar to the one that we have here. It was an ivory one, and they put it right underneath that hole there, the place of liberation of those 10 lepers. In our life, our baptism, our identity as a beloved son and daughter of God, is the place of liberation. The place that in our daily life, we're renewed in who we are, and we ask for the grace to not live in the cave of darkness and sin. And we ask for God to lift us out of it through our own efforts and opening ourselves to Him, through other people in our life who come and help us to be lowered out of the cave, other people who lead us to Jesus, and then ultimately, obviously, an encounter with the one source of life, He who heals us, Jesus. And then, this is the key, living a life of continuous healing, living a life continuously of having our baptismal identity being alive, living those realities of I've given myself to the Lord who has set me free. I know the gift of his life that has been surrendered so that I might have life every day of my life with thanksgiving. 10 were healed, but only one came back and knelt at the feet of Jesus and gave thanks. Out of the 10, only one was truly healed. 10 received a physical healing, yes, but only one received a healing, permanent relationship through his relationship with the source of the healing, the source of life. So often in our life, God is blessing us, healing us. And we ask, Lord, why do I still struggle with my sin? Why do I still struggle with the lukewarmness? Why do I still feel like I'm in the cave? Well, are we walking by his side every day of our life, giving thanks, recognizing the gift that he's constantly pouring into our life of his love? Clinging to him so that we don't fall away from him, and then what? What happens? We stumble and fall back into the hole that puts us back in the cave of darkness, of isolation, of slavery, of the leprosy of our sin. So how do we give thanks in our life? That's the key today. That's the takeaway. How do we give thanks? Well, think about in your life, how do you give thanks to someone else when they do something nice to you? When something good happens, how do you give thanks? Well, we usually do it in three ways. We do it in thought, we do it in word, and we do it in deed or action. So how do we do that with God in our life? How do we give thanks to him in those three ways? Well, let's begin with our thoughts. How do we give thanks to God in the ways we praise him and give thanks in the way in which we constantly turn our mind to him during the day? This is specifically done through prayer, prayer of thanksgiving. I turn my thoughts to him and I intentionally give thanks to him from the depth of my heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for all these things that I've received in my life. Lord, thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you for the gift of these people who love me in my life. Thank you for the gift of this beautiful sunset. This last week, we had our priest convocation, and the topic of it was Catholic enthusiasm, which is a very interesting word, but that's so true. Do we have a life of enthusiasm that's connected with knowing the gifts that we've received from God? And we're living in a spirit of thanksgiving that gives us purpose and joy and confidence in his mercy that sets us free when we find ourselves in the cave, as we so often do. And do I renew that every day through my prayers of thanksgiving? It's interesting, one of the speakers talked about how about a year ago he started a practice of when he wakes up in the morning, for the first 5 minutes of the day, as he's getting ready, as he showers, as he brushes his teeth, he just constantly gives thanks for everything he can think of for the day. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for these appointments I have coming up. Thank you for this opportunity to be in a beautiful family, to have a wonderful wife. And I've started practicing that this last week. It's incredible. And it's really helpful for me because I'm not a morning person. And so when I wake up in the morning, that's the worst. I don't know if you guys felt this when you woke up this morning with the change of the weather. You're like, I'm not getting out of the warm sheets. It's not happening. 5 more minutes. Or thinking about the day, all the things I have to do. All the things that are joyful things to do, but I'd rather be in bed or I'm tired and exhausted. That's the day, the morning is the day where I feel most attacked by the evil one. Don't want to get up and begin the day with thanksgiving. So it's been incredible these last week to do that myself. And it's incredible. It changes the perspective of the day. It puts me thinking from the moment I wake up, asking for the gift of seeing with Christ's eyes, not with my own. It replaces my needs and my will with his. Are we thinking about God's blessings every day and intentionally giving him thanks through our thoughts? Now through our words. When someone does something nice to you and you want to give thanks, what do? You tell them. You say it. Or you write a thank you. That's a way of speaking. You send a nice email. So often in our life, I wonder how much we intentionally do that with God. So often, the blessings we receive, we don't respond in thanksgiving because if we're honest with ourselves in our heart, we expect it or we demand it. Or the world tells us that we're owed it, and so we don't receive it as a true gift. We don't take the time, or we're too busy to even tell him. It's interesting, what were all the reasons that the 9 didn't come back and say thanks to Jesus? I don't know. But we have to do that in our life, speaking forth praise to God. I think this is connected to, are we willing to speak praise to Jesus in our daily life? When we go out of these doors into the world, do you talk about what Jesus has done in your life and how he's transformed your life through a personal relationship with him at your workplace? Do you talk about Jesus? Do you take the opportunities when people come to you suffering in their life to witness to how Jesus has transformed your life and to witness that Jesus could set this person free as well? Do you talk about Jesus, pray, and speak about him in your families, with your spouse, sharing what Jesus is doing in your life, with your kids? How was Jesus at work with you in your school today? Do you share at the dinner table about how God's worked in your life? That's talking about giving thanks to him, bringing the truth of his blessing into reality. It's interesting. Jesus is the Word made flesh. How do we give thanks to God? By making his love for us flesh in the world, through speaking of him, proclaiming the truth of how he set us free. So finally, in our deeds, how do we give thanks to God? Through our actions in our life. How do we pursue him? By the things that we do. Well, obviously, living the commandments is a beautiful way in which we show God, I believe in you and the way in which you've blessed me life, so I believe that you're the loving God that you say you are, so I'm going to do what you command. Because you've healed me from my leprosy, Lord, I'll follow you to the end of the world. I'll do whatever you say. Even if right now I'm maybe doubtful or don't fully understand it, why does the church ask this? Why does Father Joseph preach these things? I think the world is right, not God. No, but I'm going to say yes because you've set me free. And I have a relationship with you that continuously helps me to be built up in that belief and pursue the truth. So I'm going to follow your commandments. I'm going to pursue you in my daily life of faith. I'm going to frequent the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, Eucharistia, Greek for thanksgiving. The sacrament's a place where I give thanks and encounter you anew as you heal me. I come before the Eucharist, I lay down my sins, my brokenness, my leprosy, and you renew me as I come and receive your body and blood offered on the cross. I come to confession, knowing my unworthiness as a sinner, giving it to you, confident in your mercy. I ask for the grace to be renewed in my baptismal, my identity, the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I pursue you with my deeds, loving other people in service, pursuing authentic relationship through fellowship, small groups, people who are constantly walking the good life, people who, when I struggle, can pull me out of the cave of sin. Do I give thanks through my actions, what I do? Dear brothers and sisters, we ask for the grace today to be renewed in the thanksgiving that sets us free. We come before God offering to him the leprosy of our sin, maybe those places of darkness in our life where we failed to believe that God can set us free. We, with intentionality, bring that before him. And as we come before Jesus, we cry out to him, Jesus, have pity on me. And he speaks those words to us, your faith has set you free.